Welcome to another broadcast of Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails in to dj@artistfirst.com. All past shows can be downloaded free and on demand at the Artist First website. Now let's take an honest look at college football in America today. Here's your hosts, Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
Well, we are into November, and it's only about a month to go in college football, and everything's heating up in conferences. So, Dad, take it away. What do you think this week?
Well, Rock, time flies when you're having fun, and I can't believe we're in week 10, but there's a couple subjects that I'd like to bring up. Away from the football field, as a matter of fact, first of all, I'd like you sport fan listeners to write down this email again. It's D as in dog, J as in jump, at artistfirst.com. The reason I'm giving you that, I want you to write it down. I want your comments on the following subjects. First of all, Rock, USA Today, not in a sports section, front page of section one, ask the question. Is ESPN the force behind realignment? Now, ESPN lays out $700 million a year for college football. Should they have a say-so in what the realignment is, if any? Comment number two, the experts at Sports Illustrated have a large article, How to Pay College Athletes. They want college athletes paid. First of all, I disagree with that. Secondly, their reasons for doing that and their method of doing that are as follows. Number one, you cut scholarships. Number two, you cut sports. Most of the big colleges have 36 sports, and they're only supplied funds by football and basketball. Number three, cut the number of players, especially football. Some teams clothe up to 100 athletes. So, sport fans, what do you think of that? How to pay college athletes? Should they be paid? And my third comment is a sad one. It's a sad situation at Penn State, where Jerry Sandusky, for years, an honorable assistant to Joe Pa, was accused of molesting 8 boys. I'd like to get on the air 1 week, Rock, and not have a tragic story about happenings away from the football field. This is football season. It's not put guys in jail. It's not accusing people of misfortunate behavior. It's college football. Let's keep it that way.
Right. Well, you know, to get to your first point about ESPN, and your question was, should they have a say? I think the answer is no, but will they have a say may be different. You know, if we look at the schedules each week now starting, there's Tuesday games, there's Wednesday games, there's Thursday games. A couple years ago there were Sunday games. Teams from the West Coast are asked to play at 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning. Teams on the East Coast are asked to play at 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night, and the only reason is because they want to be on television, because they get a lot of money for that. So, to that point, I really think that's interesting, but I do think that TV runs the show. You got to admit, I mean, look at the bowl games, the number of them, when the national championship game is. It's a full week after the bowl games have almost concluded. It's by itself. They spread things out. They rename them. There's naming rights. Almost every bowl has sponsorship, all for money, and I think TV drives that. To your second point, again, everybody has a great solution, but things seem to be fine up until now. So it seems like everybody wants to have their opinion and have a way to get these players away from the academics, away from the fun of the sport. And then your third story, again, unfortunate. I agree with you. It'd be great to get on the air and not have a story about someone getting arrested, someone getting suspended. It's happening. It's poor judgment. The thing is, you can understand some 18, 19-year-olds going out, maybe having a few too many drinks, or getting challenged by some students that aren't on the football team, possibly getting into a fight, maybe even students that come from poor circumstances taking a little money. But to have an adult man who's been an assistant or was an assistant coach for 40 years be accused of that, I don't even have an answer to that. What I'd like to do is let's look at some of the things that happened on the field. Obviously, we got to talk about the so-called built game of the century. Now, in my opinion, it wasn't the game of the century, but it was certainly darn close to pitting two great, great teams, and it was probably the game of the year. Deb, what did you come away with after watching that war between LSU and Alabama?
Well, my comments about that game are really, really simple. LSU, Alabama, known for their offense, have two outstanding defensive football teams. It, you know, in the old expression, it's sad that one of them had to lose. You know, now, on defense, especially LSU, holding my preseason Heisman candidate, Troy Richardson, way, way below his average. An outstanding game. And I want to make a comment about that game and ESPN starting them at 8 o'clock. You know, a lot of people I spoke to didn't see the end of the game because they were asleep. You know, you start watching television, football, at 11 a.m. in the morning. By 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you get pretty tired. Right. You know, I stayed up and watched every play, and I could barely walk to the bed when the game was over. That game was too late. ESPN should be a little more considerate of the fans and the people that watch their outstanding, outstanding game. One other comment on that game. Not since November 18th of 2006 has a number one team faced a number two team in the same conference. Right. On that day, November 18th, 2006, Ohio State beat Michigan 42-39, and there was an unfortunate situation occurring on that weekend. The day before that game, one of the people that I admire most in college football, Bo Schembechler, died.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember it well. So let me ask you real quick, do you think there should be a rematch?
Of LSU and Alabama, my personal opinion, absolutely not. The game was played. LSU won. On that day, they were the better team. I want to leave it at that.
Well, the numbers may play it out differently depending upon some wins and losses, but I agree with you. You know, the one thing is, it seems like Alabama being the home team had their chance. Everything was in their favor. I think maybe if it was reversed, a good, you know, LSU team, maybe if they lost a close game on the road in a hostile environment, that close, playing that great of a defense, maybe that warrants a rematch, but I agree with you, and I don't think it'll happen. I think, you know, somebody's going to end up undefeated, possibly. I still have my scenario holding out that we don't. We have a one-loss team jumping Boise State, but we'll see. Just a couple other things as far as the top stories. Obviously, you know, you have Oklahoma State holding off a game Kansas State team. You know, that was a closer game than they would have liked. Kansas State, even though they were ranked 14, was stumbling a little bit. But it was a close game and very, very high scoring. You got to give it to Stanford to continue to roll and play well. And then, you know, number six, Oklahoma. Did they win or did they lose? You got to feel real bad for them losing their star receiver, Ryan Broyles. And to show you sort of the mentality that goes when you lose a player like that, I believe Texas A&M scored 14, if not 17, somewhere around there. They scored a bunch of points in the fourth quarter, and that was right after Royals went down. It seemed like the the whole team kind of lost their steam and felt bad. So again, Oklahoma won, but they might have considered it a loss because of the great player. And again, one of the things we'll talk about in a little bit was, you know, Arkansas playing South Carolina, another great SEC game that sort of took a back seat to the number one versus number two. That game, unfortunately, was almost on at the same time. Arkansas put up some great numbers. We'll talk about South Carolina in a little bit detail later, but you know they're in some real trouble now because their quarterback Stephen Garcia was kicked off the team earlier in the year, which I completely agree with the coach's decision on that. Then Marcus Lattimore went down with a knee injury to end the season, and then Connor Shaw, their young quarterback that it took over, went out with a concussion. So South Carolina's sort of reeling on offense. They put up some steady numbers, but we'll see. Now, Dad, you're always a big numbers guy. Give me your numbers for this week.
Okay, Rock. In the top 25, three teams had to lose. Alabama was one of them. Kansas State, who put 45 points on Oklahoma State, was number 17. They lost. South Carolina, who I thought might beat Arkansas, they lost. So those could be expected. However, who would expect number 9, Nebraska, to lose to Northwestern? By the way, one of my heroes of the week is Pat Fitzgerald, coach of the Northwestern football 9-11, who calmly beat Nebraska without his star quarterback, Dan Persa. And if you watch the game, sport fans, he's walking up and down the sidelines as calm as could be, never lost his cool, never panicked, never yelled at anybody. My hat's off this week to Pat Fitzgerald, coach of Northwestern. Now, number 13, Michigan, lost to Iowa. Number 20, Arizona State, lost to UCLA. Number 24, West Virginia, lost to Louisville. Now, the ironic thing about those four losses, the total points that they lost by was 15. So it's a great year, great football this past weekend, and we're looking forward to the next 4 weeks for the same excitement.
Well, you know, one of the things you brought up in all those games was, you know, it's sort of twofold. Number one, I really think it's true that a team really reflects their coach's attitude. And you saw that Nebraska game you mentioned, Nebraska-Northwestern, you saw two contrasting styles of coaching. Not that one's worse than the other, but you see Pat Fitzgerald, that's sort of the way he played, sort of cerebral when he was at Northwestern. That's the way those kids are. They're very calm. They're very smart about the way they go about things. They take their time. They look over to the coach for guidance. Their quarterbacks bring that onto the field. Then on the other sidelines, you had Bo Pelini, very emotional. Almost at times, you would conceive that to be being rattled and looking maybe a little bit too emotional. And his kids play that way. They play a very fast game. They play a very emotional game. And it was very interesting to see that. The other thing is that you got to look at some quarterback play. Case Keenum, say what you want about Houston's schedule, but Case Keenum has now thrown for over 17,000 yards. He's the most prolific passer in NCAA history, passing Timmy Chang from Hawaii. And that's just amazing. He was 39 of 44. When you throw 44 passes, I don't care where you're throwing them, you're bound somehow to miss more than five of them. He was 39 of 44 for 407 yards, and Houston continues to roll. But again, as you look through this, you go to Stanford and the way Luck played. He didn't play outstanding by his means, but the fact that these kids play steady and they play calm. And I got to hand it to all three, pretty much three quarterbacks in the big game yesterday. You know, you had a young kid from Alabama, really untested. You had sort of the two-headed monster Lee and Jefferson from LSU, and I thought, you know, there were some mistakes made, but I thought for the emotion and the fanfare and the electricity in the air, I thought all three of those quarterbacks played well. Obviously, you have Kellen Moore at Boise State, Landry Jones at Oklahoma, even farther down, you know, USC and their quarterback and the way they play. And as you mentioned, Cain Coulter, the backup from Northwestern. When you have solid quarterback play, you are a top performer. I don't care what kind of yardage you gain, either through the air with your legs, but it's sort of that calming presence, that leadership. And those guys get my hats off for the way they played. And if you look at the teams that won, big game or smaller game, quarterback play is key. Dad, what other top performers do you have?
Well, that was about it. But my question to you, Rock, is should anybody show up at the Heisman besides Luck? Do you think at this point in time there's another candidate that is even remotely approaching the status of Andrew Luck? Let me ask you that question.
You know, the short answer is no. I think he's won it. I think his body of work, I think how he's gone about it. But I certainly think Kellen Moore he's college football's winningest quarterback. He threw 5 touchdowns for 219 yards yesterday. He continues to put up strong, strong numbers. And I said this week one, you know, we talked about this Heisman deal. We said it's a quarterback's award unless somebody really steps up and takes it from them. And, you know, Trent Richardson was your pick. My dark horse was sort of Marcus Lattimore, both running backs. But, you know, defenses have an easier time stopping running backs, I think, than quarterbacks. But I agree with you. I don't think anybody else should go. I think a few guys will. I think some people out west will give more some votes. I think people in the deep south, maybe one or two guys, will give Keenum some votes just because his numbers. But if you look at the entire body of work right now, I think Andrew Luck is ready to roll in the NFL. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. You know, my preseason pick was Richardson from Alabama. But you have to look at where Stanford ended up last year, and you know they're 8-0 this year. So you've been saying from the beginning of the year, a quarterback that takes you to the championship, a quarterback that continually wins with big, big numbers, has to be strongly considered. Now, I think all running backs this year are eliminated, so it's going to buckle down to the rest of the season. They have to win games and avoid injuries.
Right. You're right. But I think ultimately it's going to be Luck. Hey, let's take our first break of the night. You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on artistfirst.com. Please, again, email questions, comments, arguments to dj@artistfirst.com. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ron Chepsik, and I am a co-producer and co-host of Crime Beat. issues, personalities, and controversies from the dark side. We hope you can join my co-producer and co-host, Willie Hareb, and me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Artist First Worldwide Radio Network. We will take you into the back alleys and boardrooms of the world's most fascinating subject, crime. We have a diverse group of guests on the show who will talk about a wide range of fascinating subjects. They include organized crime, drug trafficking, government corruption, sports scandals, victims' rights, and crime as it relates to the war on terror. Our shows are timely and always stimulating. So we hope you can tune in on Thursday at 8 p.m. for another Dynamite program about crime. Past shows are available free. Visit artistfirst.com. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
This segment, we're going to take a look at some of the conferences, and then we're going to break it down even farther. We're going to look at some teams individually and see who's a contender or a pretender as we come down the home stretch. Now, Dad, the first thing we're going to take a look at is some of these conferences are balanced, meaning, you know, you sort of have a team or two on each side if they're split conference, and then other conferences are pretty lopsided, and you almost can crown the champion now, at least on paper. So I'd like to get your opinions as we go through these. Let's start with the ACC. In the Atlantic part, we have Clemson and Wake Forest within a game of each other, and then in the Coastal, we have Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech, and even Virginia hanging in there. What are your thoughts on the ACC?
Well, of course, everybody, you know, has to win if they want to be a contender. I think head and heels above everybody else. However, we know from this week that just passed, nothing is etched in stone. They have to play on Saturdays. The team to beat is Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-1 in the conference. They're 8-1 overall. I don't see any team in the Atlantic side or the Coastal side giving Clemson any trouble. I think they're going to win the ACC.
Yeah, yeah, and it's you know, you maybe think about Virginia Tech winning their side of it and playing Clemson, but they've already been beaten 23-3 by Clemson, and I don't see Wake Forest stepping up. I don't see Florida State. So I agree with you. I think Clemson is head and heels above everybody. Now, what about the Big 12? There we have, you know, Oklahoma State. We have, you know, Oklahoma, even Kansas State, Texas sort of hanging around. But do you think, I mean, obviously it's going to boil down to that, you know, Oklahoma State-Oklahoma game. But how do you see that playing out?
Well, you know, at the beginning of the year, I loved Oklahoma. I put them in the top three. Right at this point in time, Oklahoma's number 7. And you know what? I don't think they're good enough to beat Oklahoma State. I think Oklahoma State is going to beat them. Kansas State, 4-2 in the conference, 7-2 overall. Could have something to say about that. But I think Oklahoma State will beat Oklahoma, and I think they'll win the Big 12.
I think that's going to be a tough game. I think now without their star receiver, Broyles, I don't think Oklahoma does have a chance in that game. That was part of my scenario where a one-loss team gets in. I'm going to change my mind now, at least on that game. We'll talk about some other games later. Now, let's move to the Big Ten. And before I get your opinion on that, everybody in the Big Ten struggled this week. Ohio State was tied late in the game with a 1-9 horrible Indiana team whose only win was against a subdivision team. Michigan lost an Iowa team who had lost to Minnesota. Michigan State nipped Minnesota by a touchdown. Actually, Minnesota was up into the fourth quarter. Nebraska stumbled against Northwestern, and interestingly enough, Northwestern is below 500 at 4-5, and that's their only win since early in the season. So, and that was against Indiana. And even Wisconsin, Drill and Purdue struggled early. So that shows me, not that the league's balanced, but that the league's not very good. What are your thoughts now with, you know, Michigan State and now Michigan being at the top of the Legends division? Obviously, Nebraska, that loss really, really hurts their chances, especially with some tiebreakers. And then at the other side, Penn State 5-0, but we've talked about their meat grinder conference schedule down the stretch here, and Ohio State kind of sneaking up and playing well and having won three in a row. What are your thoughts on those two parts of the Big Ten?
Well, Big Ten to me is a heartbreaker because when it comes to football, you know, I was weaned on the Big Ten. And when I started in the very, very early 50s to watch and pay attention to college football, Big Ten, along with Oklahoma and Alabama and Texas, they were always considered in the top five, top one or two. Big Ten was a premier conference, one to be dealt with. This year, they're kind of pathetic. The Legend side has Michigan State and Michigan and Nebraska, total overall at 7-2. The Leader side has Penn State at 5-0, and the conference 8-1. Ohio State, with their tragedy at the beginning of the season, is disappointing. Whoever would have thought Wisconsin ranked in the top three about 4 weeks ago is 3-2, 7-2 overall. It's a weak conference. If I had to pick the best team on both sides of the ledger right at this point in time, I would think, as badly as they've been playing, I would think it's Wisconsin. Wisconsin is just happens to be my favorite in a conference that's very disappointing. Nobody turns out to be a dominant leader in the country overall.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Pac-12. You know, it's almost like this is one where I was talking about where you got, you know, strength on one side and nothing on the other side. But I shouldn't say nothing because USC, you know, I told you they were one of my favorites from the beginning, and they're at the top of the South, 4-2, 7-2 overall. They've lost to both Stanford and Oregon, who, interestingly enough, lead the North. But do you think anybody from the South can contend? Arizona State, now UCLA's kind of snuck up and played well. Do you think anybody can contend with Stanford or Oregon?
All three of those teams, USC, Arizona State, UCLA, have been playing very well. But in as of lately, but think of this. Those three teams have a combination of 9 losses.
Uh-huh.
And on the other ledger, when we talk about Stanford, Oregon, and Washington, they have only 4 losses. Oregon has 1, Washington has 3.
I think that
one of the top teams in the country, I think a team that will ultimately be in the playoffs, is Stanford. They're going to win the Pac-12.
Well, in Oregon, you know, you mentioned them with only 1 loss. Their only loss is to LSU, so that you know they're pretty good. How about now, finally, let's go to the SEC. Again, on one side, you have Georgia and South Carolina, sort of ahead of everybody else. Boy, you talk about not balanced. You know, you got those two teams with 5 wins each, and then you have Florida, 3-4, Kentucky, 1-4, Vanderbilt, 1-5, Tennessee, 0-5. And then on the other side, obviously, you got the studs with LSU and Alabama, and even Arkansas now at 4-1, and Auburn is still in it at 4-2. So you see that conference at all getting more balanced towards the end of the season, or you just see LSU probably walking away with that game?
Not at all. I don't see anything exciting happen. LSU's ranked number 1. Alabama, after that loss, has dropped to number 4. They're 8-1. I don't see any team in the country contending with either one of them at this point in time, to be honest with you. LSU's going to win that conference, obviously. If you look at the schedules, LSU's not going to lose another game. However, If we looked at the top 25 of last weekend, and you said this team will lose, this team will lose, the four major upsets, you got to remember that four of those upsets were by unranked teams. So you never know who's going to show up to play. You never know if you're going to play against a coach like Pat Fitzgerald, who calmly, you know, beat Nebraska. So there's a long way to go. That's why we play on Saturday. But if we had to put the money down, the money obviously would be on LSU. They won the big game. That's the big game of the year. I think that's the team of the year, without a doubt.
All right. Well, now let's look at some teams. I'm going to just quickly run down a few teams with you, time permitting. We'll see how far we get. And, you know, give me what your thoughts are on if they're a pretender or a contender, and maybe a sentence or two as to why. Let's start out with Clemson. What do you think?
Well, it's very simple. When the season's over, Clemson will be 11-1, and they will win the ACC, and they're for real, without a doubt.
I agree with you. I mean, the other thing is, one of the things that we've talked about all year is, you know, consistency. And now I think at this time of year, even the coaches mention that. What's our identity? Obviously, Clemson, with Taj Boyd at the helm, they're 13th in the country in passing yards, and then they also score a bunch of points. Even though they sort of stub their toe at Georgia Tech, I agree with you. I think they are definitely a contender, and that brings us to Georgia Tech. What do you think about them? They're sort of sneaking up and quiet on everybody, but they've been playing well lately. They're 7-2.
Yeah, Georgia Tech at 7-2. You know, we won't know till November 26th when they meet Georgia from the SEC. I have question marks on Georgia Tech. Don't know how good they are. I'm going to hold off judgment on them till they play a couple more games. But at this point in time, they're contender.
I cannot figure out for the life of me. Again, talk about a team with an identity. They're rushing for 330 yards a game. They run the ball down your throat. And I have no idea how they lost to Virginia and Miami in back-to-back weeks. And then they come and beat Clemson. Now, this Thursday night is certainly going to be a test for them. They play Virginia Tech at home on Thursday night. So that'll tell us a lot about Georgia Tech. But I agree with you. As of right now, I'm going to call them a contender. How about Oklahoma?
Well, Oklahoma will be 10-1 when they meet Oklahoma State. I tell you the truth, I just don't think they're good enough, with or without their superstars. Oklahoma's a contender, but I think they'll get beat ultimately by Oklahoma State. And, you know, they have outstanding athletes. At the beginning of the year, I told you I thought they were one of the top three teams in the country. Outstanding athletes. You know, our friend is the head coach. Good man, but I just don't think they're good enough. If you've watched Oklahoma State lately and watched their scoring, it's unbelievable. I don't think Oklahoma at this point in time is good enough to beat them. However, I do consider Oklahoma a contender. They're not certainly a fly-by-night football team. They're good.
No, they're real good. And, you know, again, they throw for 380 yards. That goes back to what I've been saying all year. Landry Jones, I mean, 3,400 yards passing, 28 touchdowns. Now, I know a lot of them, obviously, are to Ryan Broyles, but a team like Oklahoma is going to step up and find a way with some of their other athletes. That's why you go to Oklahoma. And so I consider them still a contender. I think they're going to make some noise. As I said earlier, I remove my pick of them beating Oklahoma State here later in the year, but I certainly think they're going to make it difficult for some people. They're going to be pretty good. They're going to be a tough bowl matchup. So I certainly do think they're a contender. Let's talk about a team from the Big Ten that's been up and down a little bit here recently, and that's Michigan. What do you think about Michigan?
Well, Michigan follows the same pattern every year. They win, they win, they win, they win, and then they start playing the tough ones. They're 7-2 now. Took a shellacking in a major upset Saturday. And listen to what they have left. They have Illinois, Nebraska, and Ohio State. They're pretenders. They'll lose two of those final three games without a doubt. They just aren't that good. and are going to get that quarterback killed if they keep running them the way they are.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they played one ranked team and their own one, and they got pretty well handled against Michigan State. They beat a Notre Dame team that's up and down. You're right. We'll see. Again, Iowa was picked early to be a favorite, but I sort of call Michigan dangerous but a pretender. I think they still could win. You know, they certainly be in a home game. They could beat Nebraska or Ohio State. I think they lose the one of those. Traveling to Illinois this week, we'll see. But I agree with you. I think they're too young to be a contender right now. Staying in the Big Ten, what about Nebraska?
Well, Nebraska's 7-2, and I said it before, and I'll say it again. Welcome to Big Ten, Bo Pelini. Now, I love Bo Pelini. You know that. And Nebraska's real. And he's going to get them up. Nebraska has to play Penn State, Michigan, and Iowa. They'll beat all three of them. They're contenders in a weak conference. So we're going to have to wait a year or two to see what happens to Nebraska. Do you remember when Joe Pa and Penn State came into the Big Ten? They figured, he's going to sweep the league year after year after year. He's got one Big Ten championships and two shared championships.
Yeah.
But, the Big Ten is a physically tough conference. That's what makes it so difficult. And this is one of the weakest seasons of all that I've seen.
I mean, other than this loss, I cannot for the life of me figure out how they lost to Northwestern. I mean, I was even watching some of it with my own eyes, and I still couldn't believe Northwestern moving the ball the way they did. You know, obviously they had the big win against Ohio State that was struggling early. Again, they drilled Michigan State, which was sort of surprising, but losing to Wisconsin. But, if you take away that Northwestern game, I call them a strong contender. I still do call Nebraska a contender just because they are good, they're physical, they have a fullback that can run the ball. How about Notre Dame?
Well, Notre Dame 6-3. They're going to win their next two games. Then they're going to get buried by Stanford. And Notre Dame sports fans, listen. Notre Dame is still a pretender till they join a conference with comparable competition. The Big Ten teams play a weak schedule this year because the conference is weak. But Notre Dame has to get in the conference. They have to win games. They have to play some upper echelon teams. They haven't been doing that. They're going to play Stanford. They're going to get buried again. They're pretenders.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they are. I think they're getting better kids. I think they're going to be okay. But again, they lost to Michigan, which is up and down. They got beat by South Florida early. They lost to USC big. I think they get drilled by Stanford. I agree with you. So that means they'll have one win against a ranked team, and that was Michigan State. And Michigan State's proven to be a little bit lukewarm overall, so I agree with you. How about Penn State, our last team to be a pretender contender? Penn State.
Well, Penn State is 8-1. I love Penn State. I love Joe Pa. But Penn State will lose the next three games. They play Nebraska. They play Ohio State. They play Wisconsin. I hate to call them a pretender because they really aren't. They've got an 8-1 record, but they certainly are not a contender.
I don't even think you have to apologize for that. I think they're a pretender. Now, that's as of right now. Now, they could shut me up, and if they beat number 10 Nebraska, they play well at Ohio State, beat them, and number 20 Wisconsin. I agree with you. I think they're done winning, which means they would have played one ranked team, and that's Alabama, and got drilled. The other teams, Indiana State, Temple, they struggled. They beat Indiana by 6. They beat Iowa and only scored 13 points. They beat Illinois and only scored 10 points. So I'm not buying their stock at all. Well, hey, let's take our last break of the evening. If you got, again, any comments, questions, arguments, send them to dj@artistfirst.com. You're listening to Rocco Hume Football. We will be right back after a short break.
clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Call the American Heart Association or visit our website to learn more.
Pentek USA Electronic Percussion. American made and known around the world for durability, customer service, and free lifetime technical support. Call Pentek and talk to real people in South Carolina, USA. 800-445-0506. Ask Pentek if they can ship your order same day. Mention Artist First and get a 10% discount on orders placed direct to Pentek USA.
You're listening to Rocco Fiume Football on the Artist First Radio Network. Send your emails to dj@artistfirst.com. Let's get back to the show. Here's Rocco and Rocco Fiume.
The last segment of the show here, we'd like to take a look at the big games of the next week. We do that each week, and we're going to start out this week with Nebraska traveling to Penn State. Dad, what do you think?
Well, you know, Nebraska this past weekend lost to Northwestern by 3. They also lost to Wisconsin earlier in the year, and, of course, this shocker to Northwestern. They beat Ohio State close. Penn State's only loss is to Alabama, but I have to go with an angry Nebraska. As a matter of fact, as I predicted earlier in the show, I don't know if Penn State will win another game, but they certainly won't beat Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, and one of the other things is, you know, Penn State's playing at home. Nebraska's coming off a loss. But as we mentioned early in the show, you really don't know the effect that the off-the-field stuff is going to have on Penn State. You know, that's a proud program. And to have their name in the headlines other than things on the football field is really disturbing. We've seen other teams go through it in the past couple years or earlier this year. There's still sort of a cloud over USC. There's still a little bit of a cloud over Ohio State. There's still a little bit of a cloud moving in over Miami of Florida. And so you really wonder what the effect is going to be on those kids, especially, I'll tell you what, Joe Paterno, even being a seasoned veteran, he's heartbroken over this. He feels a little bit betrayed. He hasn't said much, but human nature being what it is, he's got to feel that way. So I agree with you. I think Nebraska takes it to him for all of those reasons. And the bottom line, I don't think Penn State's a very good team. They do have some talented kids. They're young. But I think Nebraska really takes it to them. Next, we're going to look at Florida and South Carolina.
Okay, you know, Florida preseason was ranked number 20. You know, they won 4, and then they lost 4 in a row. Over the weekend, they beat Vanderbilt, a very, very weak team, by 5, 26-21. South Carolina, 7-2, looked very good until injuries and suspension hit. They lost to Arkansas yesterday, and they only lost to Auburn by 3. They are home, and this week I think South Carolina is going to beat Florida. However, I'll bet you when the odds come out tomorrow, I'll bet you Florida will be favored.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on this one. I look at Florida's losses. You know, they lost to Alabama and LSU in back-to-back weeks. Then they lost to Auburn. Then they lost to Georgia in a close one at home. So, you know, their losses, you know, they played some tough teams, obviously. I think with South Carolina's problems on offense, and I think the way Florida steps up and plays defense, I think Florida pulls a little bit of an upset. I don't know if they'll be favored in this game. I think it'll be closer, but I think Florida pulls a little bit of an upset. Now, how about another big one in that conference, Auburn and Georgia?
Well, Auburn, which is shockingly way down to number 24, you know, had a week off. They're 6-3, but listen to this. They lost to Clemson, Arkansas, and LSU, all ranked teams. The sad part of that is none of those scores were close. They got handled badly by all three of those teams. Now, Georgia, number 14, is 7-2, lost their first two to Boise State and a healthy South Carolina. Then they won 6 in a row. I think the streak ends this weekend. I go with Auburn. I think
wow.
they're going to beat Georgia.
Wow. Well, I'm going to disagree with you again, and here's why. You mentioned those games. They lost to Clemson. They lost to Arkansas. And they lost to LSU, three very decent teams, but all on the road. Their other road game, they played South Carolina and beat them, but only by 3. So I think that they've shown that they can't play very well on the road. Georgia's a tough place to play. I think they've played well enough. Auburn has trouble throwing the ball. They're 108th in the country. I think Georgia tries to stop the run, and I think Georgia beats them. How about a big one I've been looking forward to for a couple weeks now, and that is Oregon and Stanford.
Sport fans, sit down and remain calm and don't take it for granted. Remember last year, Oregon, which is now number 6, they're 7-1, last year beat Stanford 52-31, but not this year. Andrew Luck is going to prove at this point in time, you might as well go put his name on the Heisman right now. If he plays well against Oregon, he's got it wrapped up. Stanford's going to seek revenge for last year's humiliation. They're going to beat Oregon, and I wouldn't be surprised if they beat him handily.
All right, for the third game in a row, I'm going to disagree with you again, and here's why. Stanford has not seen a team with this kind of offensive speed, and Andrew Luck doesn't play defense. I think this game is one of those 58-56 games. I'm telling you, Darren Thomas is fast. Michael James is fast, and they can really, really play, and they're just the way that their game goes. They play the game fast. They run their offense fast. Oregon is a strong team. They run for 300 yards a game. They're scoring 47 points a game. We're going to have to write this down because we disagree on those three games. We'll see who comes out. But I pick Oregon in the upset special of the week to beat Stanford on the road. So we'll see how that happens. Now, Dad. Any teams you have on upset alert, not even in the games we mentioned?
Well, in the games that I've chosen, you know, number 17, Kansas State, is tough. Now, this is not a prediction of an upset. This is strictly an upset alert. I think I wouldn't consider Kansas State out of the running in playing Oklahoma State. That's a possible upset. And as you mentioned, even though I think Stanford will win, Oregon's a possible upset.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to remember, I don't think this will be an upset, but Penn State is ranked 12th and Nebraska is ranked 19th. I think Nebraska will beat them. And my final upset watch is Illinois, unranked, playing Michigan, which is 7-2, ranked number 22. I think that's a possibility. So I have 4 upset watches.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas State, Oregon, who I don't think will win, but we'll keep your eye on them, Nebraska and Illinois.
All right. Well, let me give you a few, and you can comment on these if you'd like to. First of all, West Virginia, who just got beat by Louisville, they travel to Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati's playing well. That's a tough place to play. Cincinnati draws a lot of fans. They're, you know, Cincinnati is 7-1. Their only loss this year has been to an SEC team in Tennessee. Maybe it won't be an upset since West Virginia lost to Louisville. West Virginia was certainly a stronger team early in the season. But I look for West Virginia to get beat again, possibly at Cincinnati. Another team to be on watch. I'm not saying that they're going to lose these next couple teams, but they better be on alert. And first of all, that's Ohio State. Tell you why. They've come off three emotional games. They beat a ranked team on the road. They had that unbelievable finish against Wisconsin. They played a good offensive game against Indiana at home. They needed a late touchdown and a late interception to sort of survive that. They travel to Purdue. Purdue's one of those scary teams that can get hot at any time. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but the last time Ohio State traveled there with a full contingency of offensive weapons, they got thoroughly beat. Another team that should be on alert is Michigan State. Michigan State's got to be careful. They travel to Iowa. Iowa sort of got their sea legs now, and they were picked by some people to get to the Big Ten championship. But now, you know, with their win over Michigan, they played Penn State close. They're at home. Michigan State's been sort of up and down here recently. Again, I don't know if it'll happen. You mentioned it earlier. Iowa's a good team at home. Michigan State's got to be careful. And then, finally, Wisconsin. You know, again, this is an interesting stat here that Wisconsin started out the season 6-0, but they played six straight home games. Now, their two road games so far have been at Michigan State and at Ohio State. Both ended up being nightmares. They traveled to Minnesota. Minnesota's played some teams tough. It's a late game, 3:30 start. They need to watch out because this is their other away game, and they got to prove themselves on the road, so we'll see. Well, hey, that brings a close to this week's edition of Rocco Fiume Football. Dad, any closing thoughts?
No, except on those upset alerts you mentioned, I certainly agree with you. I thank the fans for listening. I thank you for being such a great commentator, and I wish the folks well, and of course, football is the greatest sport alive, college football.
Absolutely. Got a full week of games. Enjoy them. We'll see you next week, same time, on artistfirst.com. Enjoy the week.